888-914-9149. We'll go now to St. Clair, Michigan, and talk to Marvin. Good morning, Marvin.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Listen to your show every day on the app, and thanks for being there for us, uneducated
thank
Catholics
you.
Who are learning day by day. So we really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
So here's the situation. My wife's father is 86, and he currently resides in a nursing home. He has partial dementia, and old age has kind of taken over his mind. Sometimes he remembers who we are, sometimes he isn't. All right, so when he was a little boy, he was alienated from all religion because his mother and father divorced, and the church basically chastised his mother and said, you can't be in our church because you're divorced. So she said, okay, so much for religion, out the door. Well, he's known that since he was about 5 or 6 years old. Now he's 87. He's never been baptized. If you mention the name of Jesus, he just would turn you off. This was in his younger years. He would just turn you off and say, yeah, I don't need that crap. All right, so when the time comes, okay, my question is can he be baptized if someone said to him, myself or someone else, Paul, do you want to be baptized? Do you want to go to heaven when you die? If he says yes, can he be baptized? Or is it, well, no, he's not in the mental state, it's too late?
Yes, he can be baptized. Yeah, he can be baptized. What's required in a case of an adult or somebody above the age of reason is that there's at least sufficient recognition on their part of what this is and what it means so that they have freedom to say yes to it. So if he were in a coma, you know, you wouldn't baptize him because he doesn't have the ability to say yes or no. But even if he's semi-lucid, and if you say, you know, you'll be going into the next life soon, and wouldn't you like to be with God forever in heaven? Are you sorry for your sins? Would you like to be baptized? Do you love Jesus? You know, if you ask questions like that and he said, yeah, I do. I do love Jesus. I am sorry for my sins. Would you like to be baptized? Yes. I mean, those are the kind of answers that you would want to get. And even if he's not mentally as sharp as you are, let's say, if you can tell that there's, you know, some recognition and he at some level is actually, yeah, I would like to be baptized. I am sorry for my sins. That would be sufficient.
What if he's to the point where he just gazes and doesn't acknowledge it at all? Is he doomed?
You could ask him to nod his head. You could say, you know, if he's unable to speak, you could say, or you could hold his hand and say, are you sorry for your sins? Do you love God? Do you want to be happy with God in heaven? Squeeze my hand if the answer is yes, or blink your eyes, or nod your head. I mean, you could elicit a response from him in other ways, even if he can't speak. And if you can get that kind of a response and it's sufficiently clear that he understands you, then that would be all that would be necessary.
Can I, as his favorite son-in-law, baptize him, or do I need to call a minister?
You can baptize him, but you shouldn't baptize him unless, you know, death is imminent or his life is slipping away, in which case you certainly can baptize him in extremis, as they say. But if he's healthy otherwise and he's likely to be around for a while, I would ask the parish priest to come and baptize him, and I'm sure he will accommodate that. I assume that he's not able to travel. Is that right? He can't get in a car and go someplace?
He is not. No, he's pretty bedridden, and mentally and physically, he's declining by the day.
I see. So maybe it is urgent then.
It is.
Well, if I were in your situation, Marvin, and this were my father-in-law, and he didn't have long to live, and it was uncertain whether or not you could quickly get a priest to come, or a deacon for that matter, to come and baptize him, and it seemed urgent enough that he might die from one day to the next, then I would baptize him. As long as, and I just want to emphasize this point for the sake of it, as long as I had sufficient reason to believe that he understood what this was all about and that he wanted it. And that doesn't require incredible mental acuity or a great deal of, you know, lucidity, even just enough for him to, as I was saying earlier, to express, yes, I love God. Yes, I love Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to be with God in heaven. That's sufficient. If he can tell you that, that's sufficient.
Okay, so I can ask those leading questions, and if he nods yes, then that's sufficient.
Yes, in extremis.
Okay.
In extremis.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, he's closer and closer each day, so I am going to take your advice and go and visit with him and go through that exercise with him. Thank you so much, Patrick. Thank you for
You're
being
welcome.
There so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, indeed. We'll pray for him. And as a little PS to the whole conversation, I would start by asking your parish priest if he could come and do the baptism first. Start there. And if for some other reason he's unable to do it, then you could take the other approach. But I would start there just so that you've got all the, you know, the T's crossed and the I's dotted. And that's also for the purpose of him having a baptismal certificate on file at the parish. That's important as well. So thank you. Interesting story. So let's just recap that for a second. If you yourself are in a situation where a baby is dying in the delivery room, or you come across a car accident and somebody's lying on the side of the road dying, you are able to baptize that person. Now, ordinarily, you should not be going around baptizing people. That's for the church's ministers to do. It's not for lay people to do. But lay people can do it and should do it in extremis. So that Latin phrase meaning at the extremity of one's life, and somebody appears to be very near death, or the likelihood of death is very high. In a situation like that, you are absolutely capable of baptizing somebody. It's a good reason to carry some water with you, maybe some water, you know, bottled water. Let's walk through this for a second because it's important to understand the nature of baptism. So the church uses terminology like form and matter when it comes to sacraments. And these are actually Aristotelian philosophical categories, but they're very helpful in understanding the reality of what happens in a sacrament like baptism. So the matter of baptism is the water that you pour over the head as you're saying the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It does not have to be holy water. As long as it's water, that's the matter that's used for baptism. And the form is the formula that I just said a moment ago, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you have to use those words. You can't say, for example, I baptize you in the name of the Creator and of the Redeemer and of the Sanctifier. That would be invalid. It has to be the actual formula that I just said. And when you do that, you're pouring. So let's say that it's impossible to immerse somebody in water, which more often than not, it's impossible to do, or it's impractical. And if somebody's dying on the side of the road, obviously you can't bring him to a swimming pool or another place where there's a body of water. So you have water, you pour the water over the head, and make sure that it touches his head or her head. Make sure that it doesn't just sort of roll off the hair. You want to make sure that the person is actually being wetted by the water. And you say those words, and your intention is simply to do what the church does. So you're intending to baptize this person. And if you do these things, if you have that intention, you use the proper form and the proper matter, that is a valid baptism. And of course, that's assuming that the person has expressed some wish for baptism, and assuming, of course, that the person has not already been baptized, because you can't get rebaptized. Once you're baptized validly, that's permanent. It's one of those sacraments that is unrepeatable. So ordination to the priesthood, for example, is one. Confirmation is unrepeatable. Other sacraments are repeatable. Marriage, holy matrimony, that is repeatable because it's not a permanent sacrament. It ends with death, the death of one of the spouses. Holy communion, obviously. Confession, obviously. These are examples of sacraments that can be repeated, but baptism is not one of those. So there you have it. Hopefully you'll never be in a situation where you'll need to use this, but if you ever are, at least you now know what to do. Don't use any liquid other than water, by the way. It's got to be water. Can't be grape juice, can't be motor oil, can't be anything other than water for it to be valid. We'll take a quick time out, and then we will come back with more of your phone calls and plenty of other things I'd like to talk to you about. The state of Ohio has got a bit of egg on its face. They're a bit embarrassed about something that they rolled out just yesterday. I'll tell you what that is when we come back. My number is 888-914-9149. Give me a call. I'll be right back.